All right, so we'll get into the scripture passage here in just a few moments, and I just wanted to start out. So there's a story that's been going around, and the story is of a woman who went into a popular department store to buy a piece of jewelry, and she said, "I'd like a gold cross, please," to the sales clerk who was at the jewelry counter. And the sales clerk asked her, and smiled at her, and said, "Would you like a plain cross or one with a little man on it?" Might as well have said, "Would you like one of those things that has a little plus sign and then with a little dude on it there?" You know, I mean, for all we knew. So, who is Jesus? If Jesus is not a little man on a piece of jewelry, who is he? And what does it matter? So let's listen to these words from our passage this morning, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And we'll get it up there on the screen. That's the NRSV. So I'm going to be reading from there because I want to use the same version. So let's listen to these words and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and to the church. And this now is speaking of Jesus Christ. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." The word of God. God. So you can bump it just a little more, I think. You can do that a little higher. All right. So who is Jesus? And why does it matter who he is for our lives? And I want to approach this from three perspectives. One is Jesus himself of the Bible, and another is a reporter, and the third is ourselves. So be ready to participate, okay? So I'm gonna bring you into this even more than we are in right now, all right? Okay? So Jesus and the Bible. What does Jesus himself say, and what does the Bible say about who Jesus is? Now, the many names and phrases that come across through the Bible, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, the Bread of Life, others. What's that? That's right. The Way of the Truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Others. Help me out with hearing what it is. Who's? Savior. Redeemer. Others. Good shepherd. That's right. Shepherd of the lamb. Sheep. Jehovah. Light of the world. Our Savior. Divine. The way, the what? The Lamb of God. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Others. Healer. Living water. Yeah, for a friend. That's right. He says, you know, you call me Lord, and that's right. But also now that you've been learning alongside me, and I now call you my friend. Yeah, what else? Comforter. That's right. Holy Spirit is said to be the comforter, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus' presence. And Jesus is a comforter. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Others. Brother. Others. You see how the Holy Spirit is at work for you, huh? You guys know Scripture so well as the body. This is amazing. You are theologians. Okay? Others? What was that? Yes. That's right. Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of God. Jesus says, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" Son of God is another phrase used. Also, the narrow gate. I'm the narrow gate. It's not just anything and everything and whatever, but there's something specific. The scandal of particularity, as one theologian put it. This is God alive in person. What else? The way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. All right? He's the head of the church. Jesus says, "I will build my church." Peter, you know, is talking. In fact, Jesus says the question. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" This is in John's gospel. "Who do you say that I am?" You know, he says, you know, all these other people are saying all these things. And the disciples are saying, you know, they're calling you all kinds of things. Who knows what names, right? And Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And there's a silence for a time, I imagine. And they're all sitting there, some of them nervous, like, oh, no, this is the test. And Peter, one of the followers, says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Peter, for this was not given to you." You did not come up with this by yourself. This was given to you by the Father. It was only by the Father that you said this. An exclamation point that Jesus is saying, bingo, ace. You ace the test. That's exactly who I am. So there's Jesus at the bottom. And it's in you. You know it. So let's go to a reporter. All right? Let's back from the community of faith. And let's step a little outside the community of faith to a reporter. Now, if you are a reporter, you could actually help with this as well. I'm going to start out with you. So if you were a reporter, you're just sort of there on the scene. You've got your pen and your paper. You've got your iPad, whatever it is, that you can just text in the news of the day of who Jesus is. So what would you say? Certainly he was a man, right? At least a human body of a man. He probably had a beard, I'm guessing. What else would you say as a reporter? Where did he live? What would they say? Jesus of Nazareth. What else? How old was he when he, died on the cross? About 33. Yes, all right, late 20s, early 30s. Can you imagine that? A reporter saying, man, here's a guy in his late 20s, he's in his early 30s, and he's out walking around, and all kinds of stuff is happening. I mean, the lid has come off. God is on the move. There's something happening. And I felt an experience myself. Some will say, you know, I once was blind, but now I see. I don't know how. All I know, it was that guy in his late 20s, early 30s, he's over there, he's got, I don't know, would you say maybe brown hair, maybe? You know, we don't have a snapshot, we don't have an Instagram of this, but we have some idea of it, you know, and we see their classic portraits that have him as a skin like this, you know, white, kind of whitish. I don't think so. I really don't. I don't see that. I think that's just, you know, that's just something that, for those who have skin color like this, maybe that helps them to say, yeah, there he is. And I've seen other depictions, beautiful depictions of Jesus as black. As Jesus, of course, Jesus was Jewish. He was a Hebrew, Middle Eastern. So, you know, we can, a reporter would say, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, somebody from the Middle East, late 20s, early 30s, has a family. You know, the reporter might say, you know, has a mother and a father, and is a skilled carpenter, learned from his father, who was a master carpenter, who built many of the, you know, the buildings or places around in the Galilee. And so he certainly, you know, he had some skills there. What was that, John? Say that again. That he walked on the water. Rumor. Okay, there we are. There's a reporter's report. The rumor that this cat walked on the water. And, you know, well, what other reports might we have? I mean, a woman wanted to touch his cloak and she was healed. She was not supposed to be out in the crowd. She was supposed to be in her house. So she was violating the rules. But she came out anyway and went to touch his cloak and she was healed of her illness. And the guy in his late 20s, early 30s spun around and said, all right, who was that? but he didn't seem to be doing it to find out who he seemed to know. Because the next thing he said was not, man, woman, you blew it. You came out of your house and you broke the laws, the rules. Nasty. Go back to your house. Not what happened. Reporter says, he didn't say that. We might have expected they would, but he didn't. He said, woman, great is your faith. Healed. And of course, she was. What's that? Controversial. Man, if I were the reporter, I'd be all over that. I'd say, man, this guy, he's saying stuff that is just causing everything to come unglued. I mean, just total chaos. He says things that you don't just say. And he says, in fact, he quotes the people that should be quoted, you know, the pastors, the priests. He says, you have heard it said that, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, go and love your enemy. I say, you know, you've heard it said to love those who love you. But I say, love those who hate you. Controversial. Against the grain. The reporter might even say, you know, progressive. Just completely off the beaten path of tradition. So many things. Yeah. That he rose from the dead. Some people say that he said he would. He rose someone else from the dead. Okay. Now, and this was actually at a funeral. There were hundreds of people. In fact, there were professional mourners there. People, you know, who would come to the funeral and get paid to be at the funeral, basically. And they were there from Jerusalem. So there are hundreds of people. And you can't hide this as a fact. It's not like it's just somebody sort of dreaming up something. There were hundreds of people there at a man named Lazarus' funeral in Bethany. And so they're all there, and Lazarus had been in the tomb for 3 days already, and in fact, this was the fourth day. And the reporter reports, all right, it's been Count them, 1, 2, 3, 4 days now. We saw the tomb. There are hundreds of people who saw the tomb go clank. And he came, and the guy's out of there. He's up and walking. I mean, I don't even know where to put that in the newspaper section. I mean, except on the front page, right? All right. So there's a reporter's angle. And let's hear from another reporter who lived a little closer to the action and time than us, all right? Flavius Josephus. This is a Roman Jewish scholar who had written 20 different stories about the Jewish peoples on their journey of faith. And this is writing around 93, the year 93. And he said, now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles, that is, those who aren't Jews. He was the Christ, and when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again the third day. There's another report. As the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him and the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct to this day. We're here. We're a witness to that. We're the news in the newspaper. The fact that we're here worshiping God. That this guy who was in his late 20s, early 30s, was more than just a good teacher. But he's everything he said he is. The Bible says everything that he himself said he was. So that brings us to this point. And what does it matter to us who he is? And I want you to help me with this. So what does it matter to you that Jesus is your Savior, is the living water, is the bread of life, is the good shepherd, is the redeemer, the healer? What does this mean? What difference does it make in our lives? What difference does it make?
All the difference.
All the difference in the world. All right. Now, what else? He's the hope of the world. So he's not only the hope of ourselves, he's the hope of the world, which means that we as a church have a huge job to do, but it's all because of this hope and through nothing of our own. What else?
We're free.
We're free. We are totally free, and you know what that means? What does that mean to you, that we're free?
That I'm okay.
You're okay. You don't have to prove yourself.
Not burdened.
That's right. You're not burdened. You're not weighed down. You're not walking around like this with all of your guilt, all of your sins, all of your sense of grief and loss and despair and disappointment and delusionment and depression. All of that is gone. What else? Is there anything else? What's that? We're never alone. Did you hear that? We're never alone. So that means that even in the quiet darkness of the night, with the wind howling outside and the rain beating against the window, and you're grieving a grief of loss in some way or another, maybe something that's weighing heavily on your heart. It may be that's happening in your own life. It may be something that's happening in the world that you read on the internet or saw on TV. Or it may be something that's happened to a friend of yours. Maybe your friend has cancer. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you found your job and now you're concerned that will I actually be able to do this job? And you feel alone. And yet, no, not alone. What else? I'm given the ability to love the people that I don't want to love, or maybe even, I'll say, aren't capable of loving, in a sense. And so there's some power at work that by which those that rub me the wrong way, those that whatever, they push my buttons. And I get angry with them, I get frustrated with them, I resent them, and I even wish them, you know, on my worst day, I wish them ill, you know, maybe. And so we get into a place like that, and there's this power, this reality, that because Jesus matters in our lives in such a way that because he's a Savior, because he's the healer, the Redeemer, all of these things, that I can love someone that I otherwise wouldn't be so capable of loving. And that means there's hope for the world. Amen?
Amen.
Whoa. That means we can turn the tables on all those in the world who suffer in despair, who read the news, who are even the leaders of the world. Even in our own Congress right now, there's this whole posturing of things going on. And yet there's a hope because we're turning the tables. We're stopping the cycle. What else?
He shows us what faith is all about.
He shows us what faith is all about. He shows us both in how he lived on the planet, but even now. Am I right? Am I right? Even now, he shows us how to live with faith. I do this a lot. I'll say, you know, God, show me what you want me to see. Show me how to do this. How do I deal with this? And then, so gently and quietly, even like the whisper that Elijah hears at the opening of the cave, whereas before there was the earthquake, the lightning, and all of this flash and dance and everything else, it's in that quietness, the silence, from out of which comes the voice that says, let me show you. Let me show you. This is our God. Who do you say he is?